You're listening to a podcast from 702.
It's Thabo Mdluli in for Clement. Now, let's stay with Parliament then. Look at this story. The National Assembly been given an extension on the amendment of the Electoral Act. It's been extended by 6 months, according to the Constitutional Court, granting Parliament a six-month extension to amend the Electoral Act. And Parliament, of course, requested this extension after it could not process the bill on time. Let's speak now to Professor Ted Kotza, Professor of Political Science at UNISA, to get a sense as to why this legislative process is taking so long. Prof, good morning and thank you very much for your time and joining us on the Clement Magnotela Show. Why has this legislative process taken so long and why was Parliament not able to complete it on time?
Well, the Constitutional Court gave the Parliament 24 months, that's 2 years, to do this work. What has happened is that a lot of preparation has been done. I myself have been involved in some of these initiatives by civil society organizations and research groups that have worked on this. And ultimately there was the ministerial panel chaired by the former minister, Vali Musa, that was appointed by the Minister of Home Affairs, that reported to them. And then there was the public hearings that took place. First, it was the submissions, the written submissions. Then the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs of Parliament went to all the provinces. And then they came back and then they worked again on it. So I think part of it is obviously the pandemic. The fact that it happened, the judgment was in 2020, just after the pandemic started. So a lot of the work couldn't be done by Parliament while it was not in session. But I think what is, I guess, one of the delaying factors is the fact that they have done so extensive public hearings and consultations, and that it is an exceptionally difficult topic. It is something even for experts in the field of electoral studies, it is very difficult to find a solution for the judgment of the Constitutional Court.
Let's stay with the process a little bit more before we get into the difficulties of the actual content of the bill. There's criticism. Others are criticizing the very fact that you're raising that Parliament deferred the drafting of this legislation to the executive in the sense that they brought in the minister who then appointed the ministerial advisory council. In terms of process, is that what the Constitutional Court ruling would have wanted Parliament to do, or was Parliament supposed to be the ones involved in this particular process of drafting this legislation?
Well, we know Parliament must pass legislation. The preparatory work for that is normally in the hands of the executive. It's in the hands of the responsible department and ministry to do that work. In this case, there were some initiatives that happened on its own without the direct involvement of any form of government or of parliament, as I mentioned earlier on. And that formed the basis for the work of the panel, the ministerial panel also. The Constitutional Court merely said that legislation must be passed by Parliament. So it was not at all specific about the practicalities of it. Who must do it? When must it be done? They were just interested in that in 2 years' time, that means now in June 2022, there should be a new electoral system in place which includes independent candidates. That was basically the judgment.
Yeah. Now, the other criticism is that then the minister got the ministerial advisory council together. They gave him a recommendation, but he went against that recommendation in this aspect, that the bill actually is making very minimal changes, one, but two is that the constituency system is really not fully drafted in and fully acknowledged here. What is your sense?
I think that's part of the big problems that I'm referring to, is the fact that the implications of the Constitutional Court judgment is that they did not specify at all what they had in mind in terms of an electoral system. They merely said that the Constitution, Section 19, implies that the individuals, and specifically independent individuals, must be able to stand as candidates, and that was it, and that it must be implemented at the provincial and the national level. So how it will be done, in what will be the nature of the electoral system, the court was completely quiet on that. And the complicating factor, if you look at the court judgment, is that it concentrated on one component, and that is the fact that of individual grudge, individual political grudge, to say that each and every South African citizen must be able to stand as an independent candidate. But the court, the constitution also says in section 46 that the outcome of an election and the allocation of seats in parliament in general must be proportional in nature. Now, that's the complication, because it means that there must still be some form of proportionality or proportional allocation of seats, despite the fact that some people are standing there who are not members of political parties. And therefore, the question was, what will be the form within which this can be accommodated? And all over the world, and in the group I was working with, we had inputs from Germany, from Ireland, from Norway, from all sorts of, from Australia, from Kenya, from other countries, about how do they do it. Because there are systems which are a mix, and we have it also at local government level. But the complication, again, made by the court is to say, yes, this is what is possible, but the local government system of South Africa is excluded from it for a reason which is not clear why they excluded it. But that means, in a sense, that you have different options, most possibly or most likely of huge constituencies, big constituencies, with multiple members that represent that constituency. So it's not like what we have at local government level of one ward with one representative, with one councillor. And in some a number of countries, they have this system, which is much more complicated for the public to understand, because it means you have more than one representative in parliament who represents you. The Francois Slobbert task team that reported in 2003 back to government, they proposed 67 constituencies in South Africa. These proposals, including the ministerial panel, advisory panel, recommended less than that, but still quite a number, while this legislation now basically works with the provinces. So the nine provinces are the nine constituencies for at provincial level, as well as for the 50% of the members of the National Assembly at the national level. So therefore, there's simply basically only nine constituencies, but then very, very big constituencies.
So, I mean, the bill then in its current form, as you're saying, it favors bigger parties. What would it mean in practice in terms of calculating seats? So if I am an independent candidate and I have been voted in, does it mean that I'm not guaranteed a seat, or does it mean that the bigger parties would be more prioritized in terms of their seats? How does it work?
No, it doesn't work in a formal sense. It works in terms of the dynamics. It works in what is the financial implications of the system. It works in terms of what type of infrastructure do you need as a candidate in order to be able to make it. Take, for example, Gauteng. Gauteng as a province will be now one constituency. There will most possibly be around about between 35 and 40 representatives, elected representatives in parliament representing Gauteng. But there's about 15 million people here. Now, not all of them are obviously 18 years and older and therefore qualify as voters, but still, quite a number of million are eligible voters. So it means the independent candidates as well as individual candidates. And that's another component which is added now. There are actually two categories of individual candidates. There's those who are independent and have no links whatsoever with any political party. And then there's also individual candidates who are nominated by political parties, as they are done now at local government level, for example. And those two categories are competing against each other for that 35 or 40 seats in Gauteng or any of the other provinces. So it's not only reserved for independents, it's actually reserved for individual candidates. And there are these two types of individual candidates. But independent candidates who have no financial support except that they can mobilize themselves, they don't have a political party with an election budget, they don't have a party with the infrastructure that they of people, of offices, of assistants, of volunteers, and so on, they will automatically be at a disadvantage compared to those individual candidates nominated by political parties. And parties will be encouraged to nominate individual candidates because those candidates will add on to its proportion that they will ultimately receive in parliament. So it means if a person votes for them, they count as a representative already of party X.
Yeah.
The other 50% of the let's say now the 200 out of the 400 will come from the proportional representation candidates based on party lists as we know them. So the two together will constitute the proportion that party will receive in parliament. So it is in all parties' interest to get as many as possible individual candidates from that other 200 also on their side. And that will work, obviously, against independent candidates because they are actually competing with political parties then.
Yeah. Prof, I must tell you, I'm completely confused myself right now. I can imagine if it is this confusing in this conversation that I'm having with you. I wonder what our listeners think of it. I mean, do you understand the reform of our electoral system and how it works? And what questions do you have around it? Or what should our electoral system look like? You can weigh in this morning. 011-883-0702. Professor Ted Kotze, Professor of Political Science at UNISA with us. He'll be able to answer those questions for you that maybe you might have. Maybe you're just hearing about these amendments and you're hearing about these extensions you're not really clear at this particular point as to how it will affect you as the electorate. 011-883-0702. You can weigh in. We hope that it will give you some clarity as well. So the other thing, Prof, I mean, as you already mentioned that there is an independent candidate and there's a candidate who will be nominated by a political party, but there is also a proposal or that an independent candidate should not be a member of a political party for at least 3 months. Would that not be violating the rights of that particular citizen to vote to join a party if he so which part to stand as an independent?
Yes, I wrote a piece for the conversation, and I argue exactly this point in that article, and that is that. That same section 19 that the Constitutional Court referred to 2 years ago also says that all of us who are eligible voters and therefore South African citizens have that right to participate in political parties and to stand also for political parties. So if this legislation, this amended act now says, well, you are not allowed to be a member of a political party, at least for those 3 months before the nomination, so that you can qualify as an independent candidate, I would argue is in effect unconstitutional. And it's against that very established right that all of us can be members of political parties and participate in the activities of political parties. My alternative that I suggested is to say that for a person to be independent, they can still be a member of a political party, but for the purpose of this election, they are not supposed to be, first of all, nominated by any political party, because then it goes through this internal processes of a political party that the public wants to see that they are free from, and secondly, that they are not funded by that political party to create more of a level playing field with the different independent candidates. But in order to say you are not it's 3 months being not a member of a political party is sufficient to make you so-called independent, I think is slightly artificial. You know, you can say Gwede Mankasha resigned from the ANC but stands as an independent candidate and he will obviously, the sentiments will be that of the ANC. So that cannot really make a person completely independent.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a moment because I've got another question on it. But let me take Dean in Port Elizabeth. Dean, you've got a question or a comment. What's your take on the electoral system?
Yeah, it's just a comment. In 1994, we agreed on a constitution that's party-based. Now, this whole situation that we're currently in, that they want to change electoral process, is a pet project of Musi Mayamani. We have much better projects to spend money on in South Africa currently instead of arguing that we allow independent candidates. That's not what was agreed in 1994. So I don't know who's chasing this project of changing the electoral process. And for me, it's just a waste of money. We've got a lot more problems in South Africa that we can fix with the amount of money that we're going to spend on lawyers and lawyers firms. So, that's basically my comment.
Dean there in Port Elizabeth says, it's a costly exercise, Prof. It's somebody's pet project. Maybe the former leader of the opposition decided, now that I'm out of the opposition, I'm going to take this pet project. But there are some people who understand it to be a waste of money. Is there a benefit, I suppose that would be the question, to changing the system?
Well, I think it's based, first of all, it was taken to court not by any political party. It was taken to court by what is referred to the New Nation Movement. And it's a movement which with very close relations with the Khoisan community in South Africa. And they argued, and one of the applicants argued, that she is a droll person within the Khoisan, and she doesn't want to account to any political party. She wants to stand as an individual candidate, independent, and speak for herself, speak her voice, speak her mind in Parliament, and it should not be sort of bound by the discipline of the caucus of any political party or the leadership of any political party. So on the basis of that, they won the case. And it is going in a sense, or it was built on a sentiment that's widely expressed in the South African society, and that is that the parliament and the nomination of candidates during times of elections are all controlled purely by political parties. And the internal processes, nomination processes of political parties are confined to the members of those political parties. And maybe just a side comment, if you look at the results of elections, from the ANC down to all the parties, a very small percentage of their votes actually come from political parties. I calculate about 10%, while the other 90% comes from their supporters who are not members. But they cannot be part of these nomination processes. So the sentiment is that there must be candidates who are not bound by these party discipline, that's not going through the internal party processes, so that they are more independent-minded when they are in Parliament, that they can more directly represent specific constituencies or groups of society in Parliament, and that they will also be more accountable to the public in general, because at the moment it goes through the parties and no one actually individually takes accountability for what happens in Parliament or by implication also in government. So this is the sentiments on which this judgment were based. Now that it is there, it's now, the green light is now on for this to be implemented. I think now it becomes clear that it's not so easy simply to implement.
Yeah, certainly. Let's take a break, Prof, and we'll come back and then wrap up the conversation on that implementation of this particular bill. Professor Ted Coetzer, a professor of political science at UNISA, they're still with us. We'll take your calls as well. If you understand what this means, does it automatically mean now that we'll have independent candidates, for example, in the National Assembly? And what will the impact of that, especially when it comes to instances where parties vote in blocks and so on and so forth? How does that then work? We'll try and get to those. Maybe you've got more questions, send those. You can rather give us a call and put those through on 011-883-0702.
Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.
with Thabo Mdluli in for Clement Manyathela, Prof. Dirk Kota with us. Let's wrap up our conversation then, Prof. As you were saying, how will this bill be implemented then, should it be passed? For example, we know how it works in wards, right? How you then become a ward councillor. But how does it work in an instant where you want to be a premier, where you want to be a president of the country?
Well, I think to some extent, it follows the same patterns will follow the same pattern as that of local government. And that is that the system will consist of two components. The first one is the PR component, the proportional representation one, 50%. And the other one will be these individual candidates, a combination of individual party nominated and individual independent candidates or representatives. And then it depends on when it's, for example, if you want to become the premier or the president of the country, how can you get ultimately 50% of this total? In the case of the National Assembly, 201 out of the 400. That can give you the position of premier. And especially when we are going in the direction of coalitions, then it means it's how to build a coalition of support in order for those positions to become possible, that the person or leading figure can be elected like that. And I think that is going to be the dynamics of our politics in future. I think what is going beyond the idea of coalitions at this level is the fact that if there's a significant number of persons who are independents, non-party independents, who are therefore not aligned to groups, you know, like a political party, that will make that process of building up a majority in a legislature, whether it's at national level or provincial level, more complex. And that will bring in a completely new dynamics into our politics.
Professor Dirk Kota, let's leave it there for this morning. Professor of Political Science at UNISA. It's 10:58.